This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia, and I'm beginning a new occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. I plan to read consecutively through the 10 books, chapter by chapter, one chapter at a time, and at the end of each chapter's reading, I will offer a few observations on that chapter. The translation I'll be using is that found in the Loeb Classical Library, Eusebius Ecclesiastical History, Volume 1, Books 1 through 5, translated by Kearsop Lake in 1926, and Volume 2, Books 6 through 10, translated by J.E.L. Olton in 1932. Before beginning this pilgrimage, I thought it might be helpful to offer a very brief sketch of the life of Eusebius. So who was Eusebius of Caesarea? Eusebius of Caesarea lived from around the year 260 to the year 340. He was an influential bishop, writer, and historian who has been called the father of church history. A biography of his life was apparently written by a man named Ascius, who was his successor as Bishop of Caesarea, but unfortunately that biography is no longer extant, and so we don't have as much information about Eusebius's life as we might like. We do know that he was born in Palestine, probably around the year 260. His parents, however, and his place of birth, precise place of birth, are unknown. He is often referred to as Eusebius of Pamphilius, and this recognizes that he had a close relationship with a man named Pamphilius, who was a noted presbyter in Caesarea. Now, Pamphilius was a student of Origen, and he was the founder of a large library at Caesarea that Eusebius apparently made use of in his research and writing. Lake suggests that Eusebius might possibly have been the son, nephew, friend, or even a servant or slave of Pamphilius. Eusebius fled to Egypt and was imprisoned there in the year 309 during what was called the Diocletian persecution of Christians. That persecution lasted from around the year 303 to 313. During that time, Eusebius's mentor, Pamphilius, died as a martyr in 309, the same year that Eusebius fled to Egypt and was imprisoned. After the Diocletian persecution subsided, Eusebius was named the bishop of Caesarea in the year 315. He was present at the Council of Nicaea in 325 and served as what Lake calls the chief theological advisor to the Roman Emperor Constantine. At the Council of Nicaea, but he was suspected of having Arian tendencies. Although at Nicaea he did side with the majority against Arius, he was considered to be part of the so-called moderate party. Still, though he sided against Arius, he remained a lifelong critic and opponent of Athanasius and the so-called Athanasian party. In 331, he was invited to become the bishop of Antioch, to move there from Caesarea, and that was considered to be a more prestigious office, but he refused the offer and he remained at Caesarea. His patron, Constantine the emperor, died in the year 337, and Eusebius died not long after. We know, interestingly enough, the month and the day of his death, May 30th, but we don't know the precise year. It was either in the year 339 or in the year 340. So sometimes you'll see lifespan of Eusebius listed as from around 260 to 339. Other times you'll see it as around 260 to the year 340. Although he was influential in church and in politics, Lake suggests that his literary achievements are his chief claim to fame. Nevertheless, his literary style has been described as having been poor. That's according to the entry on Eusebius in the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church. Among his many publications, there was a work titled The Martyrs of Palestine, which was an account of the martyrs during the Diocletian persecution. He also wrote a biography of his mentor titled The Life of Pamphilius. He wrote a biography of the Roman Emperor Constantine, who was sympathetic to and embraced Christianity, called The Life of Constantine. Together with his mentor Pamphilius, he wrote a Defense of Origen. He wrote a work titled The Chronicon, which was a universal history that included an elaborate table of dates for world history. He wrote a work called the Onomasticon, which was a work on biblical names and place names and topography. He wrote a couple of apologetic works, one titled Preparation for the Gospel and another titled Demonstration of the Gospel, as well as commentaries on biblical books, like a commentary on Psalms and a commentary on Isaiah, in which to use the allegorical method that was similar to that of Origen, that he no doubt had learned through his tutelage with Pamphilius. His greatest work, however, was his ecclesiastical history, or church history, in 10 books, which tells the story of the Christian movement from the age of the apostles up to Eusebius's own times in the first quarter of the 4th century. This is one of the most important resources that we have for understanding the early years of Christianity, and it earned Eusebius the title of being the so-called father of church history. It is especially valuable because the author not only includes his own observations, but he draws upon much earlier sources and materials and memoirs from earlier historians and from early Christian figures. The work, Ecclesiastical History, was probably produced in several editions. As more material was added, the work was expanded, and it reached its final form around the year 323. Lake points out that one manuscript of the Ecclesiastical History adds this interesting note, quote, "Beware, reader, of being caught by the heretical tendency of the writer, for though this present book is peculiarly valuable as history, nevertheless, though in some places he speaks unconditionally concerning God and attributes divinity in him, and here to some his opinions seem sound, yet in others he speaks of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everywhere represents the Son subordinate and secondary, and the servant of the Father, for he was an Arian, and guardedly manifests his opinions." Lake nevertheless observes, in some ways, he was the last and greatest of the apologists. And so this is just a reminder that although we may appreciate the historical contributions of Eusebius, when we read through his work, when it comes to some of his doctrinal reflections, particularly some of his Christological reflections, we need to proceed with caution not only because he was influenced by Origen, many of whose views were later rejected as heretical, but also apparently it was believed that he had some tendencies towards Arianism, again, even though in the Council of Nicaea he sided against the views of Arius, but he was not a sound supporter of the more orthodox views of Athanasius. So for my sources for this brief biography, I made use of the introduction, again, to Kirsip Lake's translation in Volume 1 of the Ecclesiastical History that covers Books 1 through 5. And I also looked at the entry on Eusebius in the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, the 1983 edition. And I also looked at the article Eusebius of Caesarea in Donald K. McKim's edited Dictionary of Major Biblical Interpreters from IVP Academic in 2007. And the article was written by D. J. Bingham and C. A. Graham. So I hope this little biographical sketch of Eusebius of Caesarea will prove helpful. And again, in future episodes in this series, I'll be reading through the ecclesiastical history and offering some notes and commentary upon it. Till the next entry, take care and God bless.